Good morning. Today I'll be reading Ecclesiastes 3:16 through 4:3. And I saw something else under the sun. In the place of judgments, wickedness was there. In the place of justice, wickedness was there. And I said to myself, God will bring into judgment both the righteous and the wicked, for there will be a time for every activity, a time to judge every deed. I also said to myself, as for humans, God tests them so that they may see that they are like the animals. Surely the fate of human beings is like that of animals. The same fate awaits them both. As one dies, so dies the other. All have the same breath. Humans have no advantage over animals. Everything is meaningless. All go to the same place. All come from dust, and to dust will return. Who knows if the human spirit rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes down into the earth? So I saw that there is nothing better for a person than to enjoy their work, because that is their lot. For who can bring them to see what will happen after them? Again, I looked, and I saw all the oppression that was taking place under the sun. I saw the tears of the oppressed, and they had no comforter. Power was on the side of the oppressors, and they have no comforter. And I declared that the dead who have already died are happier than the living who are still alive. Both better than both is the one who has never been born, who has not seen the evil that is done under the sun. Let's bow our heads, please. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for being our Lord, our King, our Savior, our Father. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for this beautiful building that we're allowed to worship you in. And thank you for joining us and always being with us, Father God. We pray for Pastor Ryan that he's rested, and thank you for returning him to us. And speak through him today, Father, and let us absorb the message that you're trying to give us today. And we give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. In your precious name, amen.
You know, one thing I like about going through a book like we're doing, you know, we've been forcing myself to go through passages that I don't know if I would have normally picked. I definitely don't know if I would have chosen this subject for today, if that would have been something we had not been going through the passage of. And I really enjoy the fact that God brings out passages that are outside of our comfort house. And this passage is a passage that deals with injustice. And we live in a world full of injustice, don't we? Where we see corruption in places like government. We see corruption in places where there's supposed to be no corruption, honest, for the good of people. We see inequality in economics. We see personal stories where people are hurting each other, wronging each other. Wickedness is what this passage calls it. Wickedness in places where it's supposed to be whole and full of justice, whether it be from the government all the way down to our families. Wickedness infiltrates places meant for justice. And this passage is dealing with the tension between the undeniable brokenness of this world. I mean, we can't deny that. And the reality of God's justice. And how do we, as believers in an ultimate just God, wrestle with all the wickedness we see around us in places where justice is supposed to be the norm? And so he begins this passage about, we'll just read that first verse. I saw something else under the sun. In place of judgment, wickedness was there. In place of justice, wickedness was there. In place of justice. Wickedness was there. When people abandon the fear of God, remember we talked about the fear of God a little bit already. The fear of God is placing God first, putting him in it's his proper place. If you're doing wrong, it's trembling before him. When doing right, it's being in awe and reverence of him. And the word means the same thing. Same word means both ideas. And so this fear of God, he said, when people abandon the fear of God, they no longer look to a higher standard, but they let their instincts and their desires and their motivations, their selfish motivations, dictate their standard of living. Not the scriptures. Not the word of God. Even if they claim to be Christian. And we know the Bible, when we let the ultimate God out of the scriptures, we can make the scriptures say anything we want them to say. Because you can use those passages completely out of order. One of the best sermons I ever heard was by my pastor who was teaching preaching back when I was in college. He was my preaching pastor, teacher. And he did a whole sermon on why showers were evil. And he used scriptures to prove it. The whole point was to say, you can make the scriptures say anything you want them to say if we abuse them. And so we see that when we take the fear of God out of the picture, we can make the scriptures say anything we want them to say. And this attitude of wickedness infiltrating the places where justice is supposed to be found. When we turn our back on God, the Bible actually says we become like the beast, less than human. We become like the beast. Psalms 73, 21 and 22. When my heart was grieved, my spirit embittered, I was senseless and ignorant, and I was a brute beast before you. There are other passages too. Think about King Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 4, where he becomes his pride. He becomes the embodiment of a grazing animal. Sin mars the image of humanity and takes away our ability to be fully human, and it dehumanizes us and makes us less than. We become less than human. When we become less than the image of Yahweh, less than the image that we are created to be, less than what we were created for, to represent God, to be the image, the reflection of the Most High God. We become like the beast. And that's what the pastor, the preacher is talking about here, this teacher, the Koheleth, remember that word Koheleth? He's focusing on that under the sun, we become less than human when we let wickedness entertain us. And despite this, he knows the teacher's wrestling with this idea. He's wrestling with the idea God will bring into judgment both the righteous and bring judgment both to the righteous and to the wicked. For there'll be a time for everything activity, a time for to judge every deed. Going back to that image we read in earlier in chapter 3, there's a time for everything under the sun, but there's a time when God will judge all activities, all deeds. In God's appointed time. He says there's going to be a judgment, a justice, and it's going to be different than what we can bring out on this earth. And The frustrating thing about that tension that we're wrestling with here in this passage, is we want that justice for ourselves now, in our way. I want to define it. I want to set the rules. I want to be the one who says, this is what justice looks like. And God says, this is my job to define justice. My place. And His mercy, even though we don't like Him giving mercy to people. Think about the book of Jonah. Don't you just love the book of Jonah? We often get caught up on the fish, but there's a whole other story that's going on there, right? Think about the last chapter in the book of Jonah. He says, I didn't go to Nineveh in the first place because I knew you would forgive them. And he's so angry, he like huff and puffs and wants to, it says, the passage says he wants to die because he's so angry with God for forgiving. And isn't that the attitude we often take? We want to define what justice looks like and who gets it. But in the end, God is the ultimate judge. He is the judge. And He is the source of hope. And this truth provides us hope because we know that even in places where justice is supposed to be reigned under this, because we are less than perfect beings, wickedness will come into play. Even in our well-meaning, great places, things we work hard for, wickedness weasels its way in. And so we see injustice in places where it shouldn't exist. And life under the sun may be marred with justice, but God's justice is perfect and it is inevitable. It will happen. Maybe just not on our terms, which is often what we want. And for believers, this actually is supposed to be, should be, a symbol of peace. That it's not our job to always be the judge. We can trust in God's justice, and it frees us from trying to fix everything, because it can't be done. But what it does is it also frees us to live faithfully. And that does not mean we don't stop advocating for justice, because that's also our job, is to advocate for the right, those who cannot defend themselves. But we don't have to fix it. We're not in control. We can advocate for God's justice. We cannot be God. And there's something there that's freeing. We can work faithfully in corrupt systems and say, hey, this is not right, this is wrong, or this is... But we don't have to fix it. It frees us. Because we know that the ultimate judge is God the Father. And so there may be a societal wrong that you're that God has put on your heart. There may be a injustice in your home life. There may be an injustice in something that someone treated you, or in a system that treated you. And as where we can call for justice and advocate for it. And we see that throughout the scriptures. How long, God, are you going to wait? You're going to make your martyrs wait. But in the end, we don't have to be the judge. In the end, we're going to return to the dust. Just like everything else under the sun, And without God, there's no hope. Without God, humanity becomes no different from the animals. 2 Peter 2:12 calls false teachers even unreasoning animals. And though sin mars the image of God within us, it does not obliterate it, and there's peace there. It doesn't obliterate it. It doesn't take it away. This is about embracing God's gift with gratitude, even in a broken world, where wickedness does exist. And His justice will happen, even if it's not on our terms. And that's one of the things that we have to struggle with. Because I want to define what justice looks like. And we have to turn it over, and this perspective should drive us to pursue righteousness in our own lives, in our society, but give us peace when things do go wrong, because He's the ultimate judge. He's the one that will ultimately handle the situation. When we think about this passage, the teacher here reminds us that our dependence on God is all that we really have. That's where justice comes from. Because all of us will be wronged at some point in your lives. Whether it's by an imperfect system, or imperfect families, or imperfect communities, or imperfect... because we're not God. And living in a broken world, we're broken too. And so the hope comes from Jesus Christ. And that's where our hope comes from. That we can trust God in His sovereign ways. We can trust God that justice will remain because He is ultimately a just God. That's part of the nature of who He is. He's just. And He'll judge the righteous and He'll judge the wicked in His time. In His time. Which may not make me happy. But His time. And the truth calls us to live in faith and gratitude, knowing that God is just and His justice will prevail. And I know some of you have been hurt. I know some of you have been hurt by society. You were dealt a raw hand since the day you were born. I know some of you have been hurt by people who did wrong. I know some of you have been hurt. And some of you feel, and I know this because you've told me, that you feel like there's no justice in this world. Or that God's not moving fast enough. Let us anchor ourselves in the hope that God's perfect justice may sustain us as we navigate in an unjust world. And in the end, when there will be no more sin, there will be no more death, there will be no more suffering. That's not yet. It's beginning. Jesus took away the fear of death already when he defeated death. Death, where is your sting? Death, where is your victory? Well, he defeated sin and death when he died on the cross, when he gave us the hope of eternal life. So that when we pass on from this mortal tent, life continues on. So there's hope. But we're not there yet. So it's now and not yet. And we're not there yet because we still live in a world where we do stupid things. Where others do stupid things. And some people even like it that way. And we hurt each other. And we let injustice rule. But that's not the end. And so as we think about our next steps, we think about this passage, we must think about, well, one, where have we felt injustice in the world around us? Personally, or we've seen it in someone else. We must advocate for God's justice, but rely on the hope that we cannot ultimately be God. We have to ask ourselves, is there a place? And then we have to ask ourselves, how does God's sovereignty, his kingship, not that he controls every action causing people to do you harm, but that he is ultimately king. That when people do things against his will, he can turn it. How does that help us live a life of hope? How does that make it help us live a life of hope as we wait for God's perfect judgment? And how can we live a life right now that leads us towards His perfect hope? And of course, that also asks us, if He's going to judge the righteous and the unrighteous, are we living a righteous life? Being less than perfect, you're sometimes going to mess up. But we're called to be saints that sometimes get it wrong, not sinners who sometimes get it right. That's relying on God's blessing. And so we have to ask ourselves, how can we prepare ourselves for that ultimate judgment? Can we rely on that ultimate judgment? Can we live with that in mind as we hope for God's perfect judgment and His justice to reign out? Father God, Lord, I know that there are people in this room who have been hurt. Some of them have been hurt by circumstances. Some of them have been hurt by people. Some of them have been hurt by things that they don't understand. Lord, I know that there are people around us that whether they're victims or they feel like they're victims or whatever else is going on, we know that we live in a broken world. So Lord, I pray that as we continue to advocate for your justice, we continue to grow. We also put you as the ultimate judge. We not become lacking hope bitter and unforgiving because we trust that you will be the ultimate judge. We'll trust that you will put things right in the end. Because you are the King of all kings. God above all gods. And we worship you. So we trust you to bring justice in a world that has been full of wickedness, even where justice is supposed to prevail. So Lord, help us to be your instrument, but help us to rely on you as we trust you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. We're going to a time of